The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. Lots to come on Wednesday from Newmarket, Worcester, Sedgefield and Kempton, live on Racing Radio from 1:05 in the afternoon with Alex Dunn, Chris Pimlott and Kevin O'Malley. Taking you through the afternoon's action, previews on all the races and selections as well. And now to look ahead to that day of racing, my name's John Gibby and I'm delighted to be joined by Gareth Topham. Gareth, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Been keeping well?
Yeah, keeping well, keeping busy.
Yes.
And yeah, it's quite a nice time of year. I do like this time of year when the flat just starts to simmer down a little bit and the jump starts to come to the boil. And that's certainly what we've been having over the last couple of weeks. Some fantastic action over the sticks. And it's just getting better and better every weekend now.
It is getting better and better as we come towards, well, you look at the action ahead on Wednesday. I mean, we're going to talk about Sedgefield in a minute and Worcester as well. Winding down to Cheltenham this weekend. And, you know, by the time we've had the Racing Post Trophy, we're sort of in full-on jumps mode.
Yeah, definitely. I think people, I was speaking about this with Sam the other day on the podcast, and we were talking about different sort of start times in people's heads for the jump season. I think everybody's very different now. Mm. At one time, it was sort of Charlie Hall Chase Day or Old Rowan Chase Day. But now it's sort of, yeah, that Chepstow 2 day this weekend because it's the start of Cheltenham's new season and so forth. And it's just very, very exciting. And as I say, each Saturday now, particularly for the last couple of weeks as well, not just over jumps but on the flat, there's been a real mixture, really has been something for everybody, and it's just a nice time of year, isn't it?
It's a brilliant time of year, and the action continues to come thick and fast on Wednesday. We'll have a quick conversation. I want to talk about the Trainers' Championship going into this year in a minute, Gareth, but first of all, let's get your NAP and next best selections for Wednesday.
Okay, I've gone to Sedgefield, and in the we'll start with my next best in the Beginner's Chase. Ooh,
but we're building it up here.
Yeah, we'll build it up. we'll be building it up to a short price nap, a very short price nap, I think. So
stay tuned.
Yeah, we've got... it could be a big day for Brian Ellison at Sedgefield tomorrow. He actually sponsors one of the races there, the Beginner's Chase, and I don't like his in it, but I quite like the Neil Mulholland runner, Colondra, who I think acts sort of really well this time of year, particularly last season. His form only really started to edge off a little bit towards the springtime, where he was contesting really hot races such as a really competitive handicap up at Ayr at their Scottish Grand National meeting and also at Cheltenham as well at the festival. But it was at the smaller tracks where he was doing particularly well in the beginning of the campaign. And I mean, he ran some really big races. He was actually fifth in the Lanzarote hurdle at Kempton behind Modus back in January, this horse. I fancied him on that occasion as well. I just think that the way that this race is going to pan out might just suit him. He's a horse that tends to be dropped in. He travels very strongly through his races, and he is by quite some way the highest rated of these over hurdles. So I think if he takes two fences, I think he's got an excellent chance of making a successful debut. He was a very effective little tool around the smaller tracks back last season, and I think he might just be a nice prospect. So he'd be the next best. And then leading on to the likely short price nap, well, that comes up in the maiden hurdle, and this might well go the way of Brian Ellison with Raven Hill Road, who's won three bumpers. A point-to-point and two bumpers. Mm. Always think with a horse that's won a couple of bumpers, it's quite a smart performer.
Yeah.
And just with that point-to-pointing experience, he's already therefore had experience of jumping over obstacles in a race scenario. So that's going to hold him in very, very good stead. I think he's got the class angle. Yes, he's going to be a short price, but it's not a bad old card for Sedgefield tomorrow. And I think we might see one or two nice horses emerge from it, and this one especially, Raven Hill Road. He has been off for 11 months. I don't know why, following his latest win, that was it, put him away for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So maybe something was a bit of a miss there, but he'll be back tomorrow. And these bumpers that he won them by a long way as well. He won them both very, very easily. He's been sent off favourite on each of his three career starts so far. He'll be favourite again tomorrow, but I expect him to take the world of beating.
He's one of these that you see them mentioned a lot of these horses to follow lists at the beginning of the jump season, who then they come and make a highly anticipated debut over hurdles, and usually they absolutely hack up. Interesting to see a wide margin winner of is only point to point as well, so presumably I think him as a chasing prospect in time.
Yeah, absolutely. He's already got that vital experience against his rivals tomorrow that he can actually jump in public and win in public as well over obstacles. And it's amazing how much that point-to-point experience will hold them in good stead, because we see so many maiden hurdles, particularly very early on in the season, where the horses, they come to the first flight and you think, goodness me, they've never seen timber in front of them before. But that won't be the case behind him. And yeah, if he has a really good campaign, and I'm sure he will, because as I say, it takes a useful horse to win two bumpers, I'm sure that chasing down the line will be the optimum aim. He is only six as well, so he's six rising seven. He's still got all his career ahead of him. If you're looking for something at a slightly bigger price earlier on in the card, a horse that I once had a bit of a share in.
Oh.
He runs, and he's sort of mixed feelings tomorrow. Chain of Beacons, he runs in the 235 there. He has run at Sedgefield in the past, but it was in quite a hot novices chase, and he did find the track quite sharp on that occasion. But if he gets a really good gallop to aim at tomorrow afternoon, he probably won't be all that far away, because he's in the right sort of grade now, and he's now trained by Katie Scott. Callum Bewley taking the ride. And he's a big horse as well. He has got plenty of weight, but he'll have no problem carrying that. And as I say, he'll want a good gallop to aim at, but he's a very, very sound jumper. And as I say, mixed feelings, but I just hope he comes home safely, because we had some fantastic days with him.
He says it's his first run since leaving you.
Since so, we told him, yeah. So, yeah, and every time he went to the race course, you know, the bottom aim is just please come home safely,
yeah.
Particularly with a jumper. And but he has always been a very, very assured jumper. And as I say, he's in the right grade tomorrow. He's in a Northern Lights Middle Distance Chase Series qualifier. And maybe that's the aim, because that meeting where all those the Northern Lights Series qualifiers, that the finals day, it's not too far away now. I think it's in November. It's held at Carlisle. So maybe the new connections are certainly, they've got their eye on that perhaps. And as I say, he's in a qualifier tomorrow, and we might well see him at Carlisle next month. And that track, I think, would definitely suit him.
Well, interesting to see how Chain of Beacons runs tomorrow then. First run for Katie Scott and for new owners as well. But now, Gav, I want to look at the jump season more broadly now.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting to see the Racing Post today have been running this conversation point where they've been talking about who various people think will be champion trainer this season. The last couple of seasons, we've actually seen fantastic battles for this championship, in contrast to the flat, where sometimes it's a bit more of a foregone conclusion.
Mm.
Really good battles the last one, and over in Ireland as well, to be fair. Nicky Henderson is the defending champion. Paul Nicholls has played down his chances of regaining the title. Do you think Nicky's got it in the bag? Do you think Paul can mount it up to him? Or maybe you think there's a slightly darker horse, no pun intended, sort of nestled away somewhere he could come through and take it?
There could be. I mean, Nicky Henderson, he's got, you know, there's an awful lot of firepower, isn't there? But I think with this season, in many of the divisions, we're talking, you know, the top flight hurdlers, particularly in terms of the chasers, perhaps more than ever, I think there's going to be a bit of a changing of the guard. We've got a lot of new young horses coming through, which I think are going to take a lot of the big races from perhaps the horses that have taken them maybe last season and the season before. It's definitely going to be a changing of the guard this season, I feel. And that's going to bring it, I think, particularly the Trainers' Championship, I think a little more open than perhaps what it has been. Nicky Henderson, he's going to be going to war with plenty of very, very high-class horses, which are going to be bagging lots of prizes again. Paul Nicholls, I can understand sort of why he's been playing it down a bit, because I'm not too convinced that the firepower that was once there. We're talking, you know, that golden era that we had, what, five, six, 7 years ago, maybe a bit longer than that.
Getting on now.
Yeah, it's not quite there anymore. But of course, back last season, you know, Willie Mullins was getting very, very close, amazingly. And Gordon Elliott, he started the season off in absolutely incredible form. And of course, the prize money that they win with their horses over here in the UK, it does count.
Mm.
And we saw Willie Mullins go very close. I mean, he was ruffling up Henderson's and Nicholls' feathers back last year. So it wouldn't surprise me if one of the Irish boys was to sort of lay a serious glove on the Brits.
Nicholls is interesting because, for me, he has a lot of very good horses without having really any absolute superstars.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of solid, good horses. You think about the likes of Frodon, Modus, horses like this.
Yeah.
Horses who are good at winning big handicaps, but... Yeah. Is he going to win a championship race at Cheltenham this year? Probably not.
And that's the thing. The season is very much, I think, these days in two halves, because the two festivals, Cheltenham and Aintree, they're both springtime.
Mm.
So March and April. So, as you say, those good horses, perhaps not superstars, but good horses which are turning up in these big Saturday races week in, week out, and they're winning them, they're being placed in them. You know, they're bagging lots of prize money. But then come the big festivals where we've got the mega prize money.
Mm.
Maybe then they're just falling short, and that's where the sort of changes is actually going to happen. It's going to be very, very interesting. He could be the sort of person, he starts very, very strongly, but then once the season is really in its peak, things just start to change. We've got the likes of Colin Tizard. Maybe he hasn't quite got the numbers that the likes of Nichols and Henderson has got, but he's got some super horses and one or two which will be hopefully returning to peak form, such as Thistlecrack, for example. Philip Hobbs, he could have the champion hurdler, perhaps in Defi de Sol. So I think it's very, very open, and maybe it's time for a little bit of change, certainly on the horse front and who's going to be winning these top races. I'm not convinced we're going to have all that many defending champions this year. And for that reason, I do think it throws things very wide open indeed.
Do want to put in a quick mention for a name we haven't brought up yet, and that's Dan Skelton.
Of course,
who
yeah.
has lots of, obviously, very, very good horses. Mm. It's clearly a very talented trainer, widely regarded. When you say to people, of people who haven't been champion trainer yet, who's the one who definitely will be one day? Mm. Everyone says Dan Skelton. For my money, Dan Skelton's got two problems in terms of being champion trainer. Firstly, he runs too many of his horses in smaller races at odds on that he knows they can win.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, for connections is great, but in terms of the championship, that's an issue.
Yeah.
And secondly, I'm sure I heard him say at some point last year that he insists on having a stable jockey, of course, Brother Harry, riding the first string in the big races all the time.
Right.
Presumably with bringing in horses from big owners with their own retained riders, that could be a bit of an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, well, not something I've really thought about, but yeah, it could be. It could be. I mean, Harry's a very, very, very talented rider, isn't he? And as you say, obviously closely connected with this particular yard. And also, as you say, they are bagging a lot of these softer races, these late summer races, which, yeah, the prize money's good, but compared to the core season. And the other thing as well, with running these horses so early on in the season, let's not forget that the season starts in April and it goes through to the following April. It's a completely rotating thing year in, year out. And with these horses that he's running throughout the summer period, by the time the core season comes, quite a few of them, unless they're going to have a bit of a break in between, they've sort of... I mean, with quite a few of them, he's running them sort of August, September, October. Then they'll have a break over the months where it's bottomless ground and slogs, and then he'll bring them back for the spring festivals. And those horses in particular could certainly make him a sort of player. But a lot of them are going to... Like you say, he knows his level. He knows what he's doing, Harry Skelton. As you say, he's mopping up in these races that he knows he can go to the place like, I don't know, Newton Abbott, Worcester, win those races. But by the time the Cheltenham races are coming and the Ascot races are coming, the Sandown races are coming, you know, they've had enough. Or they're then bumping into horses which are going to be a lot fresher and might just have a bit of a class edge as well. So for the time being, I'd say Dan Skelton's probably just got a... find a little bit extra.
Yeah.
But as you say, if ever there's a champion trainer in the making, it's him. And he will be someday, I've absolutely no doubt about that.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how he gets on in addition to the others as well. Nicky Henderson, of course. Interesting thing with Nicky Henderson, just to mention briefly, is that it's not impossible he could have a live contender for all four championship races this year.
Yeah, and they're the races which... have the most prize money by quite some way as well, and it's not just those four championship races. You've got the trials for those races and the other races, which are sometimes probably wrongly deemed as trials, but they're very, very good, valuable races in their own right. There's no way the Christmas Hurdle for me is a trial for the champion hurdle.
Yeah.
That's just wrong. It's a ruddy good race in its
but
own
everything's
right.
Going to build up to Cheltenham.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's quite ludicrous, really. But like you say, if you can bag a few of those big ones along the way. You know, it puts you in a very, very strong position. And Nicky Henderson, as you say, he's got these contenders, these runners, which could see him perform highly. I'm sure he will all the way throughout the course of the season. Even though some of his sort of trademark names from the last few years, the likes of Sprinter Sacra, no longer around on the race course. But there's plenty of young horses coming through. But I am convinced that this season there is going to be a real changing of the guard with some of these championship races. I don't think there's going to be many retaining their titles.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. Of course, you can hear the jump season as it unfolds on William Hill's Racing Radio. And keep listening to the podcast as well for all the latest on the jump season. And Gareth, thanks for joining us on today's edition.
Enjoyed it.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.